Each week, we try to go inside of Chicago's fast-growing tech community to see what the next big thing might be. This week, we're featuring a company that's keeping the populace safe. Guard Llama founder Jill Parisi is here to tell us more about the complete personal security solution by arming its users with a handheld remote to immediately and discreetly send their emergency profile and GPS location to the nearest police dispatch center. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott.
So tell me a little bit, I mean, the Guard Llama as a whole. First off, I want to get into the name. Let's just start there. Okay. Awesome name. How did you come up with Guard Llama?
When you're starting a tech company these days, coming up with a name generally can be a pretty intense process.
It is. I mean, it's make or break, and right. There's not a lot of good names left, actually.
Well, that's actually the problem. I mean, I don't really believe that the name dictates the success of the company necessarily, but, you know, when you're searching for domain names, I mean, it could be, you know, anything that you think of that might be relevant is not available.
.ly.
Yeah.
We're Guard Llama Lee.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was a huge process, and, we got a lot of help from Amanda Lannert, and, who's with Jelly Vision, and she's a brilliant marketer and stuff. So, you know, we were just ripping through names, and she was like, nope, nope, nope. And just basically, for lack of a better idea, I Googled what protects sheep. And if the first answer was Guard Llama, and I was like, well,
that's
maybe
pretty cool.
Make that work, yeah.
No, it works perfectly, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah.
What was the concept? What was the working name when you first came up with this idea?
What do you mean?
Like when you had the idea, like we're going to name it something. Some of those things that she was like, no, no, no.
Oh, I mean, we had everything that was like it was like
protector.
your obvious ones, right? Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Your protect me now or whatever. Lifeline response. Yeah. You know, whatever. You know.
Glad you went with Guard Llama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're laughing a little bit about this, and the name is cool, and maybe it's kind of fun and funny to some people. But the what you guys do and how this came about is not funny at all. You were at NIU, and your partners were at NIU when the tragedy happened. Was that 2008, 2009? When was that?
I don't know what year.
Yeah,
it was.
Well,
my,
it's college, you know.
What
I don't
about
remember.
Me?
No idea what, you know.
My entire life, I have no concept of time or space. So
it must be a nice. Yeah, it must be a nice luxury you have.
I just float through. You know?
I'm not dissimilar. I know September 11th. That's like the one day I remember, and then everything else is just sort of like a big cluster. But at any rate.
Yeah, I think it was my senior year of college. I just don't remember what year.
Well, you narrowed it down. That's good.
That's it.
At least you've narrowed it down.
I can do the math, I guess, and get
the
there.
Tech startup lifestyle. I see this every. It's fine.
Yeah.
I love it. At any rate, it is a serious matter, though. It was a terrible tragedy, and one of the things that immediately came to you guys, from what I understand, is wow, like, you know, how could we have helped in any way to prevent something like this? And not that you could prevent a mass shooting, mm-hmm. but the ability to make sure that you got first responders out there as fast as humanly possible. And that sort of was the concept behind creating Guard Llama, correct?
So there's yes and no. There was two instances. There was the mass shooting that took place on Valentine's Day.
Yep.
And then there was actually the thing that really triggered the, if you want to call it the aha moment, was the actual murder of Tony Keller, which was a fellow student. And it happened in the middle of the day at a local park.
Yep.
And so I remember specifically reading the newspaper and seeing that they were searching for her for days. And they said, hey, we think we found her. And we think that because her cell phone is right here. And it's her cell phone. And so I take a step back, and everyone's gut response is, oh, hey, if I'm in trouble, everyone has a cell phone, I'm going to place a call to 911 and I'm going to be fine, right? And so
doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Not at all. And so I look at her scenario and I'm like, okay, so are there others like her? Is this a bigger problem than it looks like? Is, you know, where is the actual technology that the government has provided? Where is that at? And can we fill a gap? And the more you dive into the actual 911 system, the more you look at the fact that they just simply will not be able to find you at all unless you state your current address through the phone while you're in your time of duress. So if I pick up my phone right now and I say, help, someone is coming to kill me.
Yeah.
I need your help, and set my phone down and just sit there, no one will ever show up.
Not there, yeah. They'll have to go back and rake through the records and ping off
matter.
The towers,
I mean,
would, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and even if they ping off the towers.
Well, I mean, you're dead by now. I'm just saying. Yeah, no, this is post-life.
Well, even when they ping the towers, it's only accurate within 300 meters, right? So
yeah,
you're right.
There's still got to, you know, you're right.
But then you look at
the
mass shooting that took place. You know, we've had some local universities contact us about potentially being an option for an active shooter on campus.
Sure.
For the faculty as opposed to the students.
Yep.
Right? Because you look at every second is obviously everything in that type of scenario. And now an active shooter opens up on campus. And what is it going to take to get that first 911 call out? And what is it going to take to relay the
where
appropriate coordinates you know, at any time. So you push a button, coordinates are sent.
You could literally follow the person through the union if they're if it was an active shooter situation. Yep. You could have the first guy go, "Oh my God, I saw this!" Bing, yep. And then he's gone and goes to the next one. The next guy sees him, bing. And you could literally track him and follow him all the way through.
And for campuses, we can move through the Wi-Fi, so it's highly accurate, especially even in old archaic buildings that are like bank safes, right? Yeah. And that's huge, right? Because otherwise, it's just, hey, hopefully someone can break off and scatter enough to be able to place a call and say this person is in this building, right? And with the climate, I mean, there was more active shooters last year than there were days in the year.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at...
ridiculous.
It's unreal. You know, it's a real problem. And
so walk us through the tech on this then. I mean, you know, how does it actually... Obviously, I get what it's for and how it's going to protect people, but how does it work? How do I get a guard llama? What do I do? Yeah. Who is it targeted to?
Well, you go to our website, which is theguardllama.com. There's two L's in the word llama, which I didn't know till I started this company. So if you don't know...
That's then, the only... One of the only words that I know of that has two L's. That's the only thing I knew about llama.
Well, the Spanish community loves it too because they say guard llama.
Guard llama. Yeah. No, I dig it.
So you go to our website and you can just... You can purchase on the spot.
What do you get? So, like, there's a fob? Is there, what, like, it's a mobile app? What's the combo? How does this work?
Yeah, so we actually have a device that's separate from your cell phone. So it's a fob. It's a hardware device. And we did that because, you know, I see a lot of, if you want to call them competitors, people in the space who are trying to solve this problem. And they create a mobile app. And they say, hey, you know, when you're in trouble, you just unlock your phone, find this app, open it up, right? And I mean, how many times do you pick up your phone and you're like, where's that app that I downloaded, right? Yeah. And you're sifting through it.
Especially unless it's on the main screen, and even then, we're not opening the mobile app and drawing our coordinates in. I'm trying to send a message, like a signal. That's it.
Yeah.
So you're the black box of like the human being.
Yeah. So to me, it just wasn't a good enough solution, right? So we kind of upgraded that with the hardware and, you know, it costs time to market. Hardware is not easy to build, but I thought it was worth the time and money and energy.
Where are you guys at now as far as the company and process? How long have you been? Obviously, the idea happened when you were in college. Yep. You're 27, you said?
I'm 27 now.
You're 27 now. So you've had a few years of like since the idea and trying to figure out a way to do this. Where are you guys at as a company?
So we're live on both Android and iOS, and that happened about 6 months ago. Since then, we've got, I forget the exact number, but a couple thousand people on it in 6 months. So it's gone really well in terms of ramp up and kind of meeting expectations and what we were hoping the growth would be. And so, I guess that's it, right? It's a live platform, and there's people using it.
Yeah, I mean, in this city, you look at Chicago, and it's unfortunately a violent city, and there's a lot of things that are going on crime-wise, especially at night.
Mm-hmm.
They have towers for phone calls, but again, doesn't solve the problem in an attack. What do you excuse me? Hold on 1 second. I'm only 20 feet away. I just got to pick up the phone real call. I'll call somebody for help. It doesn't work that way.
What's really been interesting to me, being the founder of this company, is the type of people that come out of the woodwork that no one even thinks of, right? I mean, that say, hey, this is a huge problem for me. And you look at their life, and then all of a sudden you look at like what they do for a living or whatever, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, that is a problem for you, right? Maybe I have to inspect foreclosed buildings, or I have to...
This is a no-brainer for realtors, no-brainer for teachers, no-brainer for anyone who's, runs youth groups and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, and this is not just because you're sitting in front of me on the show here, but I really think that... If not, to be fair, if not guard llama, something else, I think that anyone who's working with children, particularly in the nighttime and in lieu of all of the shootings and things like that, I think that everyone should have to have something like this. There can't be, the onus cannot be on somebody having the, I don't even know what the right word is. I don't want to say guts because that sounds like, you're weak if you get shot and you weren't able to do something. You know what I mean? But somebody who didn't have the wherewithal to pick up the phone and call for help or do what it takes, you're putting a lot of pressure on a variable.
And frozen fear is a very real thing, right?
Sure.
And so I think the last statistic I saw was 60% of the time, if it's your child that's in trouble, you will not be able to dial.
Yeah, you're freaking out.
What happens is your adrenaline hits really hard because your child's on the floor having whatever type of problem and you think they're about to die. And so when that happens, you're in the most heightened state of fight or flight mode and you cannot literally, you will not be able to see the numbers on your keypad.
Yeah.
So, someone will sit there and just be entering 411 or, whatever, and they will actually, have to run to the neighbor's house and have them dial for them because of the actual, you know, the visceral reaction that you get to something that powerful happening to you. And yeah. So the idea that you can just go through this process of, hey, I'm going to unlock my phone, I'm going to enter up my security code, and I'm going to open up the phone and type in 911, and then I'll just, you know, casually explain the nature of my emergency to an operator. It's just not realistic.
So where do you recommend? So people are obviously going to go to theguardlama.com to pick this up. Mm-hmm. They get the fob. Where do you recommend that people carry the fob? Because, I mean, I stuff tons of junk in my pockets. You know, keys. I mean, I actually play with my keys all the time, so I probably would be in good shape. But, you know, where do you recommend people keep the fob so that they can get to it?
So it's really dependent on the individual. We made a fob because we thought it would be the most versatile, and that was confirmed by the YWCA, who we worked in tandem with to build this, who's the number one advocacy group for domestic violence and sexual assault survivors. And we wanted really to create a solution for those people.
Sure.
Because to me, you know, I think that's just to me, I would love to be able to help them. You know, we went through the whole thing of, should it be a bracelet? Should it be a necklace? Should it be this? Should it be that? And at the end of the day, we just thought that this is the most generic, the easiest slip through. You can attach it to really anything you like. You know, the majority of our customers attach it to their keys, right? Because it looks like a car key fob.
Yep.
But you know, I've also heard of cab drivers who attach it to their belt loop. Or I've also heard of college students who attach it to the strap on their backpack. Right? So it's really kind of how you go about your day and what makes sense for you. But, you know, attaching, I mean, some people don't attach it to anything. You know, they just keep it in their pocket. They hold it.
Hot rocks.
Yeah.
keeps you calm, helps keep people safe. I think Garlam is a really cool thing. It's another great company coming out of Chicago. And unfortunately, it's a necessary evil that we have to have something to help us in a time of need like that. So, Joe, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for talking about GuardLama. Can they follow you on Twitter? Is GuardLama a social media thing? Or
GuardLama is on social media. I believe that our Twitter handle is TheGuardLama.
Okay, so everything is
same
with Llama.
Facebook. If anyone listening to this wants to order, if they enter the promo code WGNRadio, then they can get 50% off. So we'll let everyone sign up for 50% off.
Oh, sweet. Thank you.
And... yeah, that would probably be the best way to keep in touch with the
company. I recommend people use that promo. It's not often someone comes in here and gives some stuff for free. Someone gives you free things, you take it.
Well, you bought me a drink the other day, so I feel like I owe it to your listeners to, you know.
Well, thank you. That was awfully nice of you. You could have just bought me a drink, but, you know, whatever.
True. Well, no, that's a lot of effort for me. I got to see you again. And
this is true. Thank you so much, Joe. You can watch this episode and more on Advisor TV. Stream us on the WGN Plus and Rivet Radio apps, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected and follow us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom, that's a wrap.